We're going to do what we do every single Sunday morning, and that is standing, because you know there's so many things in a week's time that can make you want to just fall over and just say, this is too hard, I'm going to quit, or Lord, this has just gotten too real for me, I just can't do it anymore. And so I always like to start your week off with you standing, because God has made it to where you can stand. When every devil in the pit of hell said, no, you can't do it, you just quit, God said, no, I'm going to make that one to stand. And so may you remember for the rest of the week that you know what? You're standing. And God's going to keep you on your feet. God's going to keep you whole. God's going to keep you secure. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person, God, that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, right now in this place, God, I loose peace, God, that passes all understanding. God, I bind up depression. I bind up anxiety right now, God. And I thank you, Lord, God, that you're meeting each person right where they're at. God, if that's in the middle of chaos and disaster, God, I thank you that you've met them in that place. God, for every person that's coming here, God, and they're in need, Lord, I thank you that you meet every need. For every person, God, that they're in need of healing, Lord, your word says that by your stripes, God, that we are healed. So, God, I thank you for that peace right now. I thank you for the healing right now. Lord, I hand this service over to you, God, and I tell you to have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm thankful to be in his house and in his presence this morning. I'd like to minister to you today a message called Live for Today. Live for today. And that is very hard to do, because everything about your past will pull at you and everything concerning your future will pull at you. And so go with me now to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And it says here, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I'm going to go right back to verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And I want to tell you this morning that there is a time, it is already set by God for your breakthrough. There's already been an appointed time for your miracle. There's already been an appointed time, and God says, don't give up, but you need to live for today. You need to live for today. You can't stay stuck in the things that you regret. You can't stay stuck in your defeat or your failure. You also can't live for tomorrow. You've got to live right in today, because if you don't, you're going to miss what God intended for your life. Your life was meant to be lived day by day, day by day. And yet so many people, they struggle to stay in the day. A lot of times our past will tug at us and we'll stay stuck in what happened yesterday. And look here, whatever you did, God didn't stop loving you. Whatever you've been through that you may have shame or guilt over, God didn't leave you in those times of shame and guilt. Live for today, because there's a blessing for you in today. You can't live for tomorrow, because that's not promised to anybody. Amen? You've got to live right in the here and right in the now. And whatever God has said is going to happen for your life, it's going to surely come to pass. Yeah. When the angel told Mary, you know, you're going to have a baby and this is going to be the Savior of the world, she said, you know what, exactly as you've said, let it be. Let it be. And so many times we want to focus on what God has told us would happen in our life, that we stay stuck in what he said, and we only focus on that. And angel, the problem with that is that we miss out on the little joys in our daily life. And so I encourage you today, live in today. live for today. If you don't, you'll miss out on your kids' childhood. You'll miss out on parts of your marriage that are supposed to be sweet and joyous to you. You'll miss out on the little things that make up your life. What God has declared over your life, nobody can stop it. Amen. What God has said is for you. Nobody can stop it. Jerry's pointing at me. And I have to remind this to myself every single day. And I have to, if I'm preaching to anybody this morning, I am preaching to myself. The hardest thing that I have to do every day is stay and live in that day. Because my brain, I've got the brain of like a little squirrel, and it wants to go over here, and then it wants to go over there. Then it wants to make me feel bad about things I can't change and be over OCD over things that maybe I can change for tomorrow. But truthfully, the biggest blessings are right here. They're right in your daily life. And so we got to live for today. And we've got to live and be at peace with yesterday. And we've got to be at peace with tomorrow. And so I want to minister to you about that today. We often get heavy-hearted about time. See, the word says that there is a time for everything. And what stresses us out most is time. Is time. I remember a funeral that my dad did when we were kids. And he started it off. I never knew how he was going to start off funerals because they were always different. And I have been at funerals, Jill, where I hate to say it, but he made me laugh so hard I just had to turn around and act like I was crying because I was thinking only my dad could come up with this stuff at a funeral. But one time he started a funeral off and he didn't have any sound booth people at that time. They were working. So he thought his teenage daughters could handle the sound. It's an awful idea. We got back there, and he's always very just loud. He's got a loud personality, and that's where I get it from. And he said, "Everybody in this place," and he was real boisterous, "take off your watches." We're all going, "Okay, is he taking up an offering for watches? Like, what's going on here?" So we all take off our watches, and he goes, "Where this person is headed or where they've been or where they're at right now, there is no time." And so I want to encourage you today, as much as you can, stop worrying about the timing of things. Because it's really in God's hands. And we get stuck in places we don't want to be because of time. And see, God says, I just wish that person would enjoy their life. In our life is what is passing us by. When we're stuck in yesterday or we're stuck in tomorrow, it's your life that you're missing. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. And it says here, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and to have it to the full," or have it in abundance. See, the word says that he came that you could have life. And not just have life, but have it full. Have it full. But the thief, he comes to do three things. And it says that he only comes to do those three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And most of what the devil steals, kills, and destroys concerns your time. Concerns your time. If the devil can steal moments from you that you were supposed to have with your family by getting you off stuck in some type of scenario in your head, we'll see the devil will do that. I remember I was in the medical field for 14 years. Before I got into the ministry full time. And I had one of them bosses. Have you ever had one of them bosses? And it was just like, they were sent straight from Satan. And that's what I used to think. But now I read the word. And BB, it tells me that every authority is placed by God. Even the authority we don't like. You're going to have bosses you don't like. You're going to have coworkers you don't like. But see, the word says that, see, God will put people in your life, even ones that you don't like. And I didn't like this particular boss. She was mean. She was just mean. And I would I drove an hour to work and I drove an hour back. And so I would drive there and I'd get off at 5:30. I'd drive an hour. That would get me home at 6:30. And I would spend the following 2 hours ranting and raving over how much I couldn't stand my boss. And then, Melissa, it would be bedtime for my little boys, and then I'd have to put them to bed. And I would lay awake at night feeling so guilty because I would see that the devil stole that time that I was supposed to have with my children. And he would steal nights and weeks and months. And I would feel that guilt over that situation. So that's why I'm telling you and encouraging you today, live for today. Are there going to be things that bother you that happen in today? Absolutely. You're not like untouchable where things aren't going to bother you. But what you are is a walking, talking miracle. You are the head and not the tail. You are God's kid. Will there be things you don't like? Yeah, there's going to be things that you don't like, but you know what? There's a God that's going to handle every single one of those things. And so he's asking you today, can you live for today? Can you be happy with this day? A lot of people, and I like to say this, was it really a bad day or was it a bad 5 minutes? And I don't know what kind of person you are, but me, a lot of times, I'll have a bad 5 minutes and I'll just say the heck with the whole day. It was just all bad. And see, we have to learn how to live every moment in that day because there's a lot of things that God has for you each and every single day. The devil would like to steal those things right from under you. So it says that he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Those circumstances and situations, they'll tug at you and they'll pull you into your past and you'll be stuck there. Have you ever sat and reflected and you thought, I wish I wouldn't have done that in my past? And before you know it, like a day has gone by and you've been stuck in that thing you wish you wouldn't have done. Or you'll be in your, here's what I'm guilty about. I'll be sitting here thinking about the church stuff and my brain will shift from 5 years from now, what are we going to, and you know what? I ain't even gotten till tomorrow, and I'm stuck in my future. See, God wants us to live in today, to live with the blessings for today. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 31. I don't know if y'all are like this, but there are times where life feels redundant, where you feel like it's the same old stuff, different day. Look here. When you get in that mind frame, ask God to open up your understanding because look here, it's not the same old. God's not giving you a redundant life. It's the way you're looking at it. It's the way that you're looking at it. And you've got to learn how to look at your life differently. I remember a few years back, probably about 6 years ago, I was sitting at the top of my stairs. And I told God, I said, God, I cannot take one more day of this. And God said, Kelly, get up. Because you can take one more day. And as I walked down the stairs, I kept telling him over and over, I cannot take one more day of this. And look here, I took it a lot more than one more day. And in the middle of that, I found out there was a tolerance that I had that I did not even realize that I had. And see, we each have things inside of us that we don't even realize. And they get lost in our thoughts. They get lost in all the situations that we're all concerned about. But if we can live in today, if we can live for today, God will show you things. I was in praise and worship, and God said, Kelly, just go and spend some time with me. And I just began to praise God and worship God, and he just said, you know what? Tell me all that stuff that's bothering you. I'm going to get off script for a minute. But if you're out there today and you're under the sound of my voice and you've been asking, you know, God, how do I get this out of me? There's stuff bothering me. There's stuff I wish I wouldn't have done. And you think this is going to just be inside of me forever. Get to that place where it's just you and God and just begin to talk to Him. Yes. So many pastors and so many people and church leaders, they'll overcomplicate what prayer really is. And you know, really, when you strip everything away, prayer is talking to God.
Amen.
And you can tell Him everything. Yes. You can tell Him things that you could never tell another living soul. You can tell it to Him. And when you're telling those things to God, what He does is see, you're getting it out of yourself and you're getting it out of your soul. You know, in the Psalms, the Word says, He restores my soul. And some of what people need in here is a soul restoration, because you've gotten into life and it's gotten hard and it's stolen the sweetest parts of you, and you think, I'm going to be like this forever. No, you don't have to be like that forever, but you got to make that choice that you don't want to be. And that's a daily choice. It's not some choice where you make one time. I get up every morning and I ask Jesus to save my soul every day. Because if I don't, I'm going to get off in left field and probably tell somebody off and not look very pastorly. And it's probably going to happen on a Wednesday. I'm pretty sure God gave me Wednesdays to really mature me. Amen. Let's go to Psalms chapter 31. I want to encourage you today, no storm lasts forever. No storm lasts forever for you. Whatever's going on in your life, God's already taken it up. Psalm 31, chapter verse 14 and 15. But I trust you, O Lord, and I say, you are my God. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to make a claim and a demand. You know, if you're saved, then He's your God. If I'm praying for something, I can't just say, God, that my brother, my dad, Angelo, serves. Jill, I don't know God like that. When I'm praying to God, I'm saying, God, you're my God. And so in Jesus' name, I ask that you'd come into this soul and help me. I'm not praying about whatever through somebody else. I make a claim and I say, you know what, you're my God. And so, Lord, you have not taken me this far to leave me now. So, God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the covenant that we've got together. Lord, I thank you that, God, on the days where I don't want to act right, God, you're making me to act right in Jesus' name. And so we make it a personal thing, but I trust in you, O Lord, and I say, you are my God. In verse 15, my times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. There are three dimensions of time in this life. When we go to heaven, there is no more time. It's eternity. We're there. But here on earth, there are three dimensions of time, and that is your past, your present, and your future. Your past, your present, and your future. And so what we have to do with all three of those times is we have to do right here in verse 15, which is what David said. He said, my times are in your hands. God, my past is in your hands. Lord, my present is in your hands. And God, my future is in your hands. My great-grandmother used to say, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. You're still making choices off of your past. You say, well, how am I doing that? Well, I'll tell you, a lot of people disqualify themselves from what God has for them based off of what they think they did that nobody can get over. Look here, whatever's in your past, leave it there. Amen. If God said, I'm going to do this, this, and this with your life, and you don't think that that's possible because of your past, you're wrong. So many people, they don't live for today because of what they did yesterday. And it hinders them. And guess what? It hinders other people because, see, life is not your own. You were bought with a price. And so the calling that's on Michelle's life, nobody else can do it. So people are depending on the calling that God put there. People are depending on what you have to give to them. And see, when we say, no, I'm not good enough, God, or I did this and I did that. See, you don't get to choose what you're good enough to do. God does. And when he calls you, that right there makes you good enough. Amen. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies. You know, I used to think this verse just was talking about people being your enemies. But you know, the further I looked into it, I began to pray this verse over my life. And I said, you know, God, for me, depression is my enemy. Amen. That's right. Anxiety is my enemy. Fear is my enemy. And God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would deliver me from those things. See, when was the last time you stopped worrying about your past, worrying about your future, living today and say, God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would free me up of depression right now. In Jesus' name, every sad thought that comes to this mind, I take it captive right now. When was the last time you said, you know what, God, it's really not by might, it's not by power, but God, it's by you, it's by your spirit. So God, I let it go. God, I let go of trying to control the situation and make this happen and make that happen. See, we weren't put here to do that. God's saying, enjoy today. Enjoy today. Enjoy your moments. I was having a sweet little moment this morning. Got up, and we've got Chris and Jill here. That's Frank's middle son, and they're sweet babies. They've got the prettiest little kids. They have two sets of twins. That's how blessed they are. And they are precious, absolutely precious. And I was sitting with the big girls, Addie and Avery, and I was ministering to them while I was cooking, because if I had to rely just on my cooking, I'd be a flop right there. So I was talking to the girls, and one of them was telling me that they like sausage. I said, oh, good, because I've got some sausage. And I were telling them, I said, you know, girls, this is how good God is. One day, a couple weeks ago, I asked God to give us a whole bunch of sausage and biscuits because we're going to have a women's prayer breakfast, and I want to have a bunch of sausage for all the church ladies to have their breakfast. And I said, well, before I knew it, God had given us tons of sausage and tons of biscuits. And that's really just how good God is. And little Avery, she's the one with glasses, and she didn't skip a beat. She goes, well, thank God. And I said, that's exactly right, Avery. Every time that you see God do something, right when you see him do it, you need to thank him right then. Thank him right then. And you know, it's in the little moments that you can get the most joy out of. Those moments that the devil's trying to steal from you, those days where you think, oh, this is just going to be another day, another washed up day of doing the same thing, doing this, doing that. Those are the days that God really wants to bless you the most, because see, your life is not redundant, and it's not just the same old mess day in and day out. You know, your life is for a purpose. And if you don't feel that way, tap into the grace of God, because see, he wants to make you feel better about what your life was meant to be. But you've got to live it out day by day, and you've got to be in those days, not stuck in something else. Go with me to Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. And I'm talking to you about living for today. Living for today. So Psalms 90 and verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days aright. So what does that mean? Well, God, teach us, teach me how to make the most of every day that I have on this planet. Teach me how to make the most of it. We went to Branson a couple weeks ago, and we stayed at the Water Park Hotel. And I really enjoyed it. I like seeing happy kids. It makes me happy. And they had everything. Michelle, they had everything that we needed. You never really even had to leave. They had the go-kart coupons. They had all this stuff. The pizza coupons. They just gave you a bunch of coupons when you went into the place. And it's like you had all this stuff. And I married a numbers person. And that's a blessing and a curse. No, I'm just kidding. It's not a curse. I take that back. But Frank over here was trying to figure out how we were going to make the most out of that trip and use all of those coupons. And I'm going, I don't have enough nerves in my body to use all the coupons that they gave us. Like, ugh. You know, there's only so much pizza I can eat. There's only so much go-karts. There's only so much of this stuff that I can, like, tolerate. But he was trying to figure it out. Well, I was cleaning out my wallet the other day, and I just had to laugh because I had found the coupons for the pizza. I thought, I'm not telling him about that. He'll want to go back and use them up, and they're expired. We let them go. But this verse, it says, teach us to number our days. You only have so many days here on this earth, and that is the truth. You only have so many days. Ask God to help you to teach you how to number them right. God doesn't have a lack of purpose for you. Teach us, God, to number our days. Teach us how to make the most of them. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, when you ask God to teach you how to make the most out of all your days, you're going to gain something. And what that is going to be is a heart of wisdom. See, what a lot of people lack is wisdom. People make some of the dumbest decisions just on a whim. You ever met somebody like that? I mean, I've been that way before. And if I don't like really watch myself, I'll make stupid decisions just on a whim. Big decisions on a whim. See, when God's able to call the shots in your life, you've given those choices to him. He teaches you day by day how to live each day to the very fullest. And what you get is a heart of wisdom. I've learned very painfully to not say yes to every harebrained idea that everybody has about all my time. Amen. In the beginning, I would say yes to everything. And then I'd just be so worn out and miserable. And then I thought, I don't believe God wants me to say yes to all this stuff. And you know what? I started listening to God, and he would say, no, don't do that. That's just going to eat your time up. You're going to be tired after you do that. Rest. Do this. Don't do that. God will teach you how to fill your days. Go with me to Psalms 95, 6 through 8. One of the things that I like doing is I like to perform weddings because people are usually happy then. I've had a couple of weddings where people were not happy and they were really weird. I had a wedding one time where a guy was like 40 minutes late and me and his bride just kind of stood here and I'm like, did he say he was coming? I mean, did y'all get into it last night? Like, what's going on here? That was probably the weirdest one I've done. But what I started noticing that people started requesting me to do, and it's in almost everyone now, but they would say, Pastor Kelly, what we want you to do is we want you to invite everyone to be fully present. And I was like, the first one that they told me to do that, I said, well, yeah, I'll tell them to do whatever you want me to do, but what does that mean? They were like, we don't want them having all their phones out. We don't want them sitting here talking to their neighbor. We want them to be fully present in our wedding, in our marriage that we're fixing to take a part of. And so, you know, the verse that we just read, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, God wants you to be fully present in every one of your days, every one of them. On my days where I feel like they're redundant, do y'all have days that feel redundant? You know that feelings aren't facts. A lot of days, there's some Mondays, Sherry, where God has to give me an attitude adjustment. There's a lot of Wednesdays where God has to give me an attitude adjustment. And what he always starts off by telling me is this right here, Kelly, out of all of the churches in Logan County, I trusted you with this.
That's
right, amen. So Kelly, you, it's not that you have to go cook for the senior citizens or you have to go distribute food to Logan County. Kelly, it's that you get to.
That's right,
you get to do that. So don't get that crisscrossy in your brain. You get to do that. Don't just run through the motions of that day. Now, I want a microphone. Do we have a microphone? We've got one right up here. Now, this is impromptu. I don't like to tell people when I'm going to put them on the spot because it'll make them nervous. But Miss Sherry, come on up here. Sherry is a really big blessing to me. And I have been told for years now to delegate things. And my problem with delegating things to people is I'm like, that's my baby. Can I really trust other people with my baby? And the food ministry is like my baby. And Sherry, I always look at her on Wednesday, and I really admire her because Sherry does a wonderful job at living in that moment. She really does. And Sherry, I want you to tell the folks, because see, a lot of you, you're working, you don't get to hear some of the amazing things that happen through the food ministry, but I want you to tell them that story about this has happened a couple weeks now, about the lady with that stuff.
There's this particular lady that comes through the line, and she's done this, I'm going to say, 5 or 6 times. But she'll come through, and she gets food, and the first time she did it, she got out of her truck and come up to the passenger side of a vehicle and handed this person an envelope, and it kind of startled the person, and it actually startled us because it's a food line, and we was afraid she was going to get run over out there. And she handed this guy this envelope, and it come to find out she was giving him money. And from then on, she'll come through and she'll say, you know, I'm standing there where the donations are usually, and she'll say, can you give this, she'll give me a donation, and then she'll say, can you give this to so-and-so, this particular truck. Well, last week, she came through and she said, can you give this money to this, she had an envelope and it had a message on the outside of it. And she said, can you give this to this gold car back there, which was about 10 cars behind her. And I said, I sure will. So the car came up and the car, I told her, I said, you know, I talked to her, and then I said, there's this car that came through and wanted me to bless you with this envelope. And she looked really startled, and I gave it to her, and she looked at me, and she looked down, and she looked at me again, and she said, just a complete stranger? And I said, yeah. And did she not have she had tears in her eyes, and I had tears in my eyes, and I was just like, I mean, she was blessed, and Sam prayed for her, and I mean, he just prayed that, you know, that money was, that she needed that money. So I don't know if it was $5. I don't know what she had in there, but I felt like she got a blessing. And that food line is, it's a blessing. It's not just for people that need food. Some people come through there and they need prayers. There's some people that come through there that pray for us. And it's just, it's a blessing. It's blessed my heart. It's blessed me. It's got me out of that house. It's got me out of my shell. It's saved my life. It has literally saved my life. So that food line is just a blessing to everybody.
One of the times, that same lady, she had a roll of quarters, and she said, sometimes I think she just picks random cars. And she said, give this roll of quarters to so-and-so. And we did. And then the next time, the guy that she had given them quarters to, the next week, he had a couple bucks, and then he started doing it. Yes, it is. It's amazing. And if you look at your life, you know, if Sherry were to just say, well, this is just every other, this is just Wednesday and we're going to go and we're going to do this, we'd miss out. See, and that's what I'm trying to tell you today. If you keep looking at your life like it's just so whatever and it's just the same old, you're going to miss those divine appointments that God has for you in those days. I remember about a year ago, I was dealing with something. I don't even remember what it was at the time. I don't remember now. And I was headed out, and it was a Wednesday, and I see somebody, and this was back when it wasn't a drive-through, and somebody, this lady came, and I thought, well, she's wanting food. Well, she didn't want food at all. She said, Pastor Kelly, I was sitting in my chair, and she said, God told me to get up, to come down to this church, and to lay my hands on you and begin to plead the blood of Jesus over you. And it was just like Moses parting the Red Sea. I mean, I could see her. It was just like a divine appointment. And she just, in the middle of all these people, and she comes and she just puts her hands on me. And Brenda Babe, all in a moment, all that heaviness just lifted right up off of me. See, we'll miss things in our life if we just are looking at it the wrong way. I'm asking you to take another look at your life and say, God, help me to see it the way that you'd have for me. If your kids are driving you crazy, shut your eyes for a minute. Open them back up and say, God, I thank you that you picked me to be their parent. God, I thank you that you put me at this job. Lord, I thank you, God, that I have a good attitude. God, I thank you that everything that I'm concerned about, God, that's keeping me from loving this day, God, you've already taken care of those things. See, I was sitting here thinking we were going to preach about the 4th of July. And God says, no, I just want you to preach to them about enjoying their life, living in today. Hey, I can preach about that. Some days I'm good at that. Some days I'm not good at it. But in Psalms chapter 95, verse 6 and 8, it says here, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah. And if you don't hear another thing that I say today, if something has pricked the inside of you and you say, you know what, I need to do better at enjoying my life, I'm going to ask you to do the word, which is verse 8. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. So many Sundays go by and people will feel something. They'll feel this or they'll feel that, and they'll be pumped about the week, but the second that they walk out the door, all that's gone. I'm going to ask you to take the word with you to apply it to your life. When you get in a moment where you're feeling blah, I'm asking you to just shut your eyes, open them back up, and say, God, give me a different perspective. Amen. Help me to live in this day. I know Gary and Michelle, they change people's lives every day, and I'm sure it feels redundant most days, but it's not. If you're sitting there and you're saying, God, is what I'm doing really making a difference? Yes, it is. It is. Keep going. Don't get stressed. Keep on going. Proverbs chapter 27. Verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Now, you've got to live in today. And I'm going to read that one more time. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. How many of you have ever thought, well, tomorrow I'm going to do such and such and such and such, and then you got in tomorrow and ain't none of that took place? I've been in days where I was like, oh my God, I would have never thought I would be up in this day. Because if I'd have known about this earlier, we wouldn't have even gone up in today. I'd have just stayed in the bed. Don't boast about tomorrow. Why? Because, see, you don't know what will happen in a day. It's just like Frank tells me all the time, Kelly, do not try to sit there and think about what every person is thinking. Because you don't know what they're thinking. And most of the time, when you think you know, you're wrong. I'm going to give that knowledge and wisdom to the rest of all of y'all. Bless Brother Frank. He keeps me sane. Or he tries. Don't spend a bunch of time worried about tomorrow. Don't spend a bunch of time whatever about tomorrow. Am I telling you to just whatever, fly by the seat of your pants? No. But what I'm saying is, if you've got a choice of living in today and enjoying today, do that. And you do have that choice. Don't sit there and worry all about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. And you've got little blessings right in that day. If the devil don't get his way with you and take you out of today and make you worry about tomorrow. I was sitting Friday and we were in a meeting. And I felt myself about an hour long making a continual decision to not live in stress over a certain situation. And I got in the car and I was just real quiet. I said, Frank, we're just going to go on and we're going to enjoy today. And that's what we're going to do. Are you going to have the option to get your little pea brain all worked up? Yes, you will. Do you need to? No. No. No, you don't. When something comes at you, you need to give yourself a timeout. Why? Because every person has an inner two-year-old inside of them. Every one of you. I've got two two-year-olds inside of me, I'm pretty sure. I've been around two two-year-olds this weekend. The baby twins. And Emery, I think, is the most beautiful little girl I've ever seen in my life. She's beautiful. Now, she's in the back, and y'all need to see her. She's beautiful. She's got that blonde hair and those blue eyes. Gorgeous. Well, they went off tubing, and they let us watch them. I said, Frank, I think you need to call Chris and see if they're coming back. I mean, it's been a long time since I've had a two-year-old. I'm getting tired. He's 60 years old. It's been a real long time for him. I said, call your son and see if they're all right. We may need to go help them. I was doing my message half the time. I wasn't even watching them half the time. So I thought, I'm going to try to entertain Emmy. So we did our nails. I said, Emmy, let's go do our nails, our hair, glitter. Let's do it all. She was all about it. So we went go in the bathroom. She's so cute. I got in her little face. I said, does Emmy want some glitter? She goes, Em does. So by golly, I got that makeup brush. And that child looked like the most radiant-faced kid on the planet. I got that brush, and Melissa, I got that glitter going. And I just went to swirl on that. I thought, I'm going to live vicariously. I've never had a little girl. I'm going to just doll this kid up. Well, she undid it in about 5 minutes. And by the time we were done with her and her parents came back, Frank was in the recliner, and she had fallen asleep in a weird position where he was holding her head up. And I said, don't move. Just keep holding as long as it takes for that child to sleep. Just keep your hand very still. Because see, right now we're getting what's called a break. We got one two-year-old over here, and he's still awake. And you got that one over there. Hold your hand still, honey. See, you got blessings up in today. You got blessings right up in today. Live for those. Live for those. God will surely bring to pass everything that you're wondering about. He's going to take care of it. Every single thing, every concern. And I know that this may sound like the most simplest of advice, but I'm going to give it to you. You can't talk to God enough. Everything that comes into your mind, if you'll put it under the blood and just walk away. Tell it to God. Talk to Him. You don't got to have a PhD to pray. Just talk to Him. Say, God, I'm worried about this. Stay in that place until He fills you up with peace about it. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Yeah. See, the verse 19, it says, see. And see, God wants you to see. Yeah. He wants you to open your eyes and see that he's doing something new. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. You know what? A lot of times we spend our time worrying about things because in our mind and in our perception, we can't see how it's going to happen. He is making a way. He did not say that you have to make it happen. You got to come in line with the word of God that says that it's already happened. Now we got to thank God and believe for it. You don't got to sit there and stress about how you're going to make it happen. God's going to make it come about if you'll let it. God tells me all the time, Kelly, you can't make that church grow, but you can let it. You can't make this happen, but see, you can let it. There's a whole lot of power in letting. Last place for me this morning, Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 6. Being confident of this thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm going to read that one more time. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I want to tell you this morning, there's not a demon in hell that can stand in between you and what you were put on this earth to do. I'm confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work inside of you will bring it to completion. He's going to bring it to a completion. Can you live in every day while he does that? Can you enjoy every day that you've got while he brings your life to completion, while he carries everything out? Can you just enjoy today? Can you say, God, yeah, there may be some things that I'm concerned about, but God, I'm going to choose to enjoy today. If you're somebody and you struggle with enjoying your everyday life, if you struggle with that fear and that stress and that anxiety, see, God would like for you to enjoy your life. I'm going to ask you to stand because, see, if you're struggling in that area, God wants to meet you where you're at today, and he wants to make it easy on you. He wants you to enjoy it. He doesn't want you to stay stuck. He wants you to enjoy yourself. If you're sitting in your home right now and this word is for you, I'm going to ask you to get off of your rear, stand up, throw your hands up in the air, and begin to plead the blood of Jesus over your life. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place today, God, they've responded to your word that's come forth. God, every concern that we have, we commit it to you right now. God, every fear that we have, we commit it to you right now. God, every bit of anxiety that we've got, we commit them to you right now. And God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person. I speak peace where there's been an unrest. I speak joy where there's been sadness. I speak wholeness where there's been brokenness. And God, right now, I ask, God, that you would make it easy on us, God, and help us to enjoy each and every single day that you've given us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.